Joshua, and I want to call it the first Great Commission. You've got the Great Commission, as we have written over the door frame, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. Jesus gave that to the disciples. We hear that ourselves. We're supposed to go out into the world, make disciples of all nations. And here, Joshua is being, as you probably read there, in this opening chapter, he's been sent into all the land to subdue the whole land, to bring the whole land into the discipline, to make it a place where faith prospers and flourishes. So I think there is an analogy to be made. There's so many different things to learn from this book. I'm sure we're picking up some of it as we go along. But I want to talk tonight about picking up our cross from what we've just read here. Because I want to talk about the way that Joshua is being called to shoulder a level of responsibility that he has never known in his life before. A new level of responsibility than he's had before. And he's having to shoulder something he's never shouldered before. To carry something he's never carried before. Do something he's never done before. And I think the context of this expression, be bold and courageous, is in light of being called to do something that you have never done before. This is new territory. And I think most of us, although there's a level of excitement, isn't there, about doing something new, new challenges, new opportunities, there's also a degree of trepidation. We come at these things nervously. Will I succeed? How will it go? And so the word of the Lord comes to him at this point as he faces this new level of responsibility. He's basically, as we see in this chapter here, he's been called to and equipped for this most prestigious office in his society, before God, the highest level of responsibility of anybody else in amongst all of his people. There are hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people in Israel, and only one of them is going to stand and take over the role that Moses had previously had. We've spent a long time in the five books of Moses. Moses is a giant, an absolute giant. And one person is going to follow Moses. One person is going to stand now, and all the things that were upon Moses are now going to be upon this person. And Joshua, as providence has it, is that person. And this is a mighty thing that he is being given to undertake. You can see at the beginning in the first verse, and the Lord said to Joshua. That's never happened before. Up until now, God has always spoken to Moses, to Moses, to Moses, to Moses. God speaks, Moses hears. Joshua is always kind of picking it up secondhand, receiving all these things. And now God, who is he going to speak to? He's hearing God speaking to him. God has singled him out amongst these thousands and thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people. And it's you that I'm now talking to. That's a mighty thing. To hear God speak to you is a mighty thing. If you've been singled out, how many people? There are nearly 7 billion people in the world today. And if you hear God speaking to you, this is an amazing thing. We perhaps take some of this for granted. We come amongst Christians, people who know the Lord, and we take it to some extent for granted. But when you think about the thousands and the thousands and the tens of thousands out there who never hear this voice, they're not hearing the voice that you hear. This is a great responsibility, isn't it? And the way that previously, Moses was the person who he commissioned, told him to go into the land and so on and so forth. Now you can see in this chapter, he's talking to Joshua. Now it's over to you. I'm speaking to you, and it's you that must go. It's you that must lead. It's you that must take the initiative. You must take the steps. You're to go into the land. It's a big handover, isn't it? And Moses knew great encouragements as well. God spoke to him and he encouraged Moses in so many practical ways. And all that encouragement that he knew, now Joshua is starting to know these, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. We need that, don't we? When God is speaking to you, it's a great responsibility. It's now, there's nobody else to look like. Don't you love it when sort of somebody, they're looking for a volunteer and there's several other possible candidates. But then there's that moment when there's no other candidates. There are no other names in the hat. Your time has come. There's nobody to be responsible for this for you. And you need encouragement, don't you? And he not only gets the commissioning from God, but he also gets the encouragement from God. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. This is just, God is not one of these capricious gods like the gods of the nations who pick somebody up, toys with them for a while, and then puts them down again. Once he starts speaking to you, he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. You have a covenant. He's going to see this through. If he starts a thing, he will finish it. You've seen it in the person of the Lord Jesus. It is finished. This relationship will continue all the days of your life. And once he's taken you as his own, he's owned you as his own, he will nurture that relationship through the whole course of your life. And Joshua is beginning to experience this in a very, very direct way. And then the mission is being laid out for him very, very clearly, isn't it? There's some very strict geographical references made in those opening verses. Thus far and no further, thus far and no further. This is your sphere. This is what I want you to do very specifically. And he's hearing God speaking to him, laying out the mission for him, giving these assurances to him. Nobody will be able to withstand you. Why? Why is nobody else going to be? Because I am with you. You're going to be successful. You're going to be able to achieve this because God is with you. It's not because of how strong you are, but because how strong the one who is with you is, who your ally is. So Joshua is going through this transformative experience. Joshua's always been in the background, hasn't he? He's always been number two. It says in the opening there in verse 1, Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He's the chap who's always had a t-shirt with the number two written on it. He's always only ever played number two fiddle in the orchestra. He's never got up at the front, has he, and played the lead. And now that's all changing. He's no longer Moses' assistant. He's not the assistant pastor anymore. He's the pastor. He's the minister. He's the prime minister. He's the president of this great confederation of tribes. Thousands upon thousands of very able, capable people, or perhaps brighter, more intelligent than he is. But for whatever reason, God's plan, you are the one. You are the one. It's quite overwhelming, isn't it? You can see how appreciate why these commands that come to him, not once, not twice, but three times in the opening book. Be strong, be very courageous. He needs to hear that, doesn't he? When he's facing that kind of thing, you need to hear that kind of exhortation, that encouragement coming not from anybody. It's great to hear from friends and family, isn't it? Go for it, we're with you, we're praying for you. Isn't that wonderful? That's great. But this is God. God is speaking to him, telling him, and he has good cause, good reason to believe God. He's seen wonderful things happen. But I think we could all agree that here, this ancient warlord from the kind of Bronze Age period, with this responsibility to bring together these factions and tribes and to take them into a hostile territory and lead them through the many, many practical challenges that will be ahead of them in the following years, seems a little bit remote from some of our lives. I think that's broad. Any warlords present here tonight? No, any leaders of confederacies and so on and so forth. Not many prime ministers here or great statesmen amongst us here today. So Joshua as the leader, can be a little inaccessible to us when we come and meet him in the book. And I think the way in, to start with anyway, I want you just to see this as a person who is shouldering a responsibility. Somebody's taking on a new responsibility because each of us have got responsibilities, haven't we? We all carry a measure of responsibility. Some nods looking at each other. Yes, you do. responsibilities. That comes with the territory. It comes with life. I don't think there's anybody in this room who doesn't have some measure of responsibility. And those responsibilities may be great, they may be small, but insofar as they're your responsibilities, we have common cause and common experience with Joshua. Being held to account for something. This is you that must do it. Nobody else. It's just you. You can't blame anybody else. You can't pass the buck on to anybody else. If you're looking for something, you look no further than yourself. This is about you and God. And you know what you have to do. And you know you have to do it. And I think that's the common ground. Joshua experiences that. We all experience that in some measure, don't we? We've got all sorts of levels of responsibility. Responsibilities in our families. Just at that level, we are responsible, aren't we? Emotionally responsible, practically responsible for people around us, for our friends. We've got responsibilities to our and for our friends, to our neighbors, to look out for them, for property, things that we own. We have to look after things. Sometimes we have to look after things that belong to other people. We all have a level of responsibility. Just sometimes it's just to make your bed. That's where it starts, isn't it? Just at that beginning place. And then just going on from there, all the many things that we find that we have to do. So I want to focus on this as Joshua as a person shouldering responsibility. Because how many of you here like responsibility? Or seek and look for greater and greater levels of responsibility. I think some people enjoy the rewards or aspire to the rewards that come with responsibility, but the actual responsibility of being the person who has to get up first in the house or the person who has to do that particular task, well, that's something often we're a little bit more shy of. We all carry responsibility. And Joshua's responsibility essentially is he's been called to lead. That's his particular responsibility, to lead. But what makes him particularly appealing to us is he's somebody who wants to lead and do the responsibility he's been given in a way that pleases the Lord. And that's what he's been called to. And that makes our levels of responsibility different to the responsibilities that other people have. You meet all sorts of, everybody's got responsibilities, but there's something particular for you and me who know the voice of God, who know the Lord Jesus, who are Christians, we have to quit our responsibilities in a different way. There's somebody else who we want to please. We're not just doing it so that other people can see what we're doing. We're not just doing the things that please and appeal to us. We're doing it because somebody is watching us, somebody we care about, whose opinion we care about more than the opinion of any other, whose praises come from God, not from men. And that's what Joshua wants. He wants to fulfill his responsibilities before the Lord. Do you want to keep fulfill your responsibilities before the Lord? That's our common ground with Joshua. Now, there's a time for talking about Joshua as a type of Christ. And I think we will talk about Joshua as a type of Christ. He even has the same name. You know, Joshua is the name Jesus is a derivative. I won't go through the whole etymology of how it's come through the Latin and the Greek and the Hebrew, but the original name, Yeshua, and Joshua, is basically the name Joshua. It means he saves. So they even have the same basic name. And there is something about the person who is uniquely appointed to lead God's people that we can say there's a connection between Joshua and the Lord Jesus. But I think without looking just at these two, Jesus, the great leader, we can just look at Jesus as somebody who shoulders responsibility. Jesus literally picked up his cross and went to Calvary. He literally took responsibility for what he was called to do. That was not a calling that perhaps any of us would have fulfilled or achieved in the way that he had. But he did it. He had a responsibility. What a responsibility. What responsibility was on Jesus' shoulders? When he put that cross on his shoulders, what was he carrying on his shoulders on that day? How important was it that he did what he did on that day? That he didn't look to the left or the right. He didn't pull back. He didn't push forward. He just picked up that cross and carried it to Calvary. Aren't you glad that Jesus fulfilled his responsibilities? And Joshua is being laid on him responsibilities. Crucial, important things. And that's the thing about responsibilities. They really do matter. The things we're called to do really do matter. They make such a difference. And so I think there is even a commonality with Jesus as just somebody who knew what it was to have to bear responsibilities. And if we bear responsibility, we can find, as we talked about this morning, fellowship with Christ. There's something that I'm doing that in some way, however small, is like what Jesus has done. And you can understand him through that, and he can encourage you in that because he understands what it is you're going through. As you pick up your responsibilities, as you take your place, as you lift up your cross and you follow him, as you start to follow Jesus in this particular regard. So Joshua here is this ancient warlord. I want to try and bring him close to us as one who has actually got a lot of in common with us, rather than focusing on those things about him that are very different to us, his particular callings and so on and so forth. Now, if you're like me, your responsibilities have changed over the years. Perhaps if I said, you know, there's one thing to carry the calf, and then you might find yourself years later, you're able now to carry the cow. Do you know that expression? If you've carried the calf, you can carry the cow. Maybe some of you can look back at the little things that you were first given, the things that you were first called to do, the little responsibilities, maybe just things around your houses and in school, sit down, turn up, bring your pencil case, the little things you were asked to do. And gradually, over time, the levels of your responsibilities have grown. Maybe some of the people here, you own a house. You own a house. You own cars. You've been licensed to take vehicles out on the road, driving at 70 miles an hour, out on the public high roads. You've been given these responsibilities, haven't you? And they've increased. You weren't doing that when you were 12, I trust. Think how the Lord has grown the responsibilities, how your responsibilities have grown and increased over the years. In the relationships, how much more rests on some of the relationships, your place in a family, your place in the group, your place in the church, the things that you say. At one point in your life, what you said and did, it had little or no consequence perhaps. You could get away with all sorts of stuff. And then suddenly you come to a point in your life where what you say or what you do can turn the tide one way or another, affect other people's lives. Greater and greater levels of responsibility, roles as well. You get a role or a duty and a calling, perhaps a small thing. I remember first coming to church this 20-something years ago, and somebody said, "Here, hold this door." And then the next Sunday, I knew that that door needed opening at that particular time, and I started just opening the door, and before I knew it, I had this job. I opened the door. And you do it. You know what it's like, don't you? The little things that God calls you to do, and you just start to do them with all of your heart because it's him. It's unto him that you start to do them. And gradually, bit by bit, over time, these responsibilities increase. You're called to pray. That's a responsibility, isn't it? It's a responsibility to pray. We think of it often as a means of getting what we want. It's a responsibility to pray. It's a calling to pray. To praise. To lift up our hearts, to lift up our voices, not just to mumble the words, but sing it out. Not just for your own good, but for the encouragement. Doesn't it say in the Psalms, singing Psalms, hymns, encouraging one another, speaking to one another in Psalms and hymns, stirring each other up? It's a responsibility that we have to take. Sharing our faith with other people. Go into all the world. That's a commission. It's a command. Therefore, it becomes a responsibility to us, doesn't it? And as soon as we talk about this, it can all seem rather bitter. It's you know, because there's something in us that doesn't like this level of duty. We don't like the idea of a duty. As though duty was a dull and a hard thing. But I think it's here, these responsibilities that are laid up. They are crosses to us. They are crosses to us. Nobody by their own nature wants to pick up a cross, do they? You have to be a masochist to want to pick up a cross. But if that's the means of salvation, if there's somebody else who needs you to do that, if that's your calling and responsibility to do it, then you find by the power of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ the strength to do it. We take up our crosses. We play our part. We share in Christ. Christ shares in us as we do these things. And that is what Joshua is experiencing, this transition. He's picking up a cross for which he needs courage, for which he needs strength. Not just his own natural strength, but something new, something fresh from the Lord himself to enable him. Every responsibility in this sense, unless I'm mistaken, is cross-shaped. It has its blessings, but it also carries its own pain. It carries its own pain. I think that's when you know that you're carrying the right level of responsibility. If it's all comfort, maybe you need to help somebody lift theirs. And if it's all pain, maybe you need to ask somebody to help you carry yours. Just this mix, this blend of these two things together. And oftentimes people run away from responsibilities. They try to avoid responsibilities. They back away from responsibilities because naturally there's something inside of us that doesn't want to pick up a cross. And that's why we need to hear God speak to us. Like Joshua needed to hear God speak to him. Be strong and very courageous. Take a step of faith. Take a step of faith. So here comes the word. It doesn't come once to him, does it? Be strong and courageous. It comes to him three times. Be strong, be courageous. Joshua needed to hear. Joshua needed it. Do you find at times that you get overwhelmed by your responsibilities? That providence, one way or another, puts things in your way that are simply more than you can cope with, or more than you believe you can cope with. You honestly find yourself out of your depth. And in that moment, oftentimes, feeling yourself out of your depth, the flesh becomes... It appeals itself to you and says, I can resolve your problems for you. You know, that people get encouraged to vent. Have you heard about this? Venting? You know, something's happened, a twist and turn of life. And so they say, you know, you've got a right to be angry. What you need is to vent your anger. You need to kind of, you know, let off steam or something like that. But it doesn't help. It doesn't actually help. It doesn't solve the problem. And in those moments where we're truly overwhelmed, what we really, really need is a fresh encounter with the God of our faith. What we really, really need is to hear God speaking into our very hearts and reminding us that through him, we are more than conquerors. It's not just the world. He's always saying, you know, you can do it. Well, you know, that's a disaster, isn't it? Sometimes you can. Sometimes you really can't, because they can't know. The world cannot know. But if God says, be strong and courageous, it's because you have been preordained to fulfill this thing. You have been equipped already to do the thing that you're being called to do. He never makes a mistake. So when we get encouragement from God, the very thing we most need, when life is most overwhelming, the truth is, do you know Susanna Wesley? Do you know who Susanna Wesley was? The mother of John Wesley. I can't remember how many children she had. 12 or something at least. So I think maybe even, possibly even more. And she was an absolutely remarkable woman. And she raised these children up. She taught them all to read. She taught her method of teaching people to read. When she taught John Wesley to read, his first reading lesson, Genesis chapter 1. And she got them reading the Bible, all of them. They got them reading by starting reading the Bible from the beginning. There was no simple words and phonetics and then working its way up. You learnt to read from the beginning of the Bible, and then you just made your progress through it. That's how she taught them to read. But understandably, there were times, evidently, when Susanna Wesley was just utterly overwhelmed. And she had an apron. You know the story. She had this apron. And when it was too much, she just threw the apron over her head. And she went to God. And that's what you do. You take your spiritual apron, you throw it over your head and say, I've got to spend time. I've got to hear God. We need the Lord. We need him. We need the courage that he alone can give, the peace that he alone can give. the strength that he alone can give. And then you look back over the years, you think, I can't believe that that me that struggled with doing that seems such a long time ago. And here I am doing this all these years later. How has these things come about? How did I get from here to here? It's because God gave me the courage and the strength to do it. And you just find yourself praising the Lord. Do you ever look back and look at where you've been brought from, all the things that you've come through? Look at where you are today and just throw your hands up, throw your apron over your head and throw your hands in the air and just praise the Lord. What a mighty God you are. I never believed for a minute that this could be me, that I could be here. But here I am. Don't you ever find those moments when you just stop and just give thanks? Just give thanks to the Lord. Joshua's come such a long way, hasn't he? You know, from the slave in Egypt. He didn't know how to help himself. He, amongst all the others, just crying, you know, Lord, this weak little cry. And the Bible tells the Lord heard and took him out, sent a messenger, sent a savior. He didn't know how to cross the Red Sea, did he? Sent somebody ahead of him who was able just to put the staff down, the sea opened up, food in the wilderness, all the things Joshua saw, all the miracles that Joshua saw. And all through that, from that slave to the point where he's standing now and he's been made chief and commander of the tribes of Israel. And you can look back with great thankfulness, can't he, and see what the Lord has done in his life. But it's not over yet, because he's looking ahead now. And there are fresh challenges. There are fresh things ahead. This has only just begun for Joshua, hasn't it? And I don't know what you've been brought through, but don't get complacent. None of you. Don't think, well, it's all in the past now. We've done it all now. The best is still to come. The best is still to come. And this is what I believe that Joshua is getting this view of here. We need to hear that call, don't we? We need to hear the call on our lives, encouraging us, setting out our mission and purpose, but hearing that word of encouragement that comes into all of our hearts. Be strong and very courageous. Not just from me speaking it, but from God himself to each one of us here tonight. We're going to pick up more of Joshua over the next weeks and months and stuff like that, but please just take that with you as you go into your week, as you're facing something perhaps feels overwhelming or intimidating and feeling a bit tearful or frustrated, throw your spiritual apron over your head and don't come out until you've got that courage and strength from Almighty God, and go in his strength. Go in his strength. Let's sing something to close. Speak, O Lord, is the closing expression. 1350 is the closing hymn, 1350.